to a place of just receiving the blessing of heaven from God Himself over you this morning. Favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you.
you and we found you are Waymaker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Say, you are here,
you are here,
touching every heart,
touching every heart.
I worship you. Even when I don't feel it, yeah, you never stop.
Glory, glory. In mercy, and you got.
Who you say I am? You crown me. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you today. Stand up with us, would you? We're so glad you're here. We are so glad to have my daughter-in-law, Francesca, is leading worship for us today. Welcome her, won't you? And she drove up from Miami, and we really appreciate that. And so I want to just read here Psalm 33. I love what it says. Psalm 33 from the Passion Bible. It says, "It's time to sing and shout for joy. Go ahead, all you redeemed ones, do it." It says, "Praise Him with all you have. Praise Him with all you have. For praise looks lovely on the lips of God's lovers." It says, "Sing and make joyous music with all you've got inside." Say, "I'm going to praise God with all I got inside. I'm going to give God my best today." Come on, let's sing. Let's worship Him. How many of you have got a reason to give God praise today? Hey, come on, stir yourself up today. I'm going to give Him praise today. Lord, we come before You in the name of Jesus.
I saw lightning. I saw darkness run for cover. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power. Oh yes, I do. So the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. Yeah, my praise belongs to You forever. Come on, sing. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm testifying. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Let's sing this. Together, sons and daughters, fought with blood and washed in water. Sing the graces of the Spirit, Son and Father. Our God will finish what He started. Oh yes, our God will finish what He started. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Oh, come on, do you believe that today? Okay, we're gonna sing this bridge together. I want everybody singing. Okay? Let's do it. If I'm not dead, You're not done. Come on. Greater still getting to come. Do you believe that? Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, You're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, You're not done. No, no. Greater things to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, You're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause glory rules my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'm testified by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Oh,
we give him some praise in this house? We're going to keep on singing today, if that's okay. Let's sing it. Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Oh, the sun sets free. Oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the sun sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God.
My sin was great, your love was greater.
out to Him, singing your own song. Oh, Jesus, we worship You. There's nothing like Your name. Death could not hold You, the veil tore before You. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of Your glory. For You are raised to life again. Come on, He has no rival.
Morning, family. How are you all doing this morning? Good. We're singing about the name of Jesus. And it's not just a beautiful name because it sounds beautiful. It's beautiful because of what it contains. Because the Bible says that God has raised Jesus up to be at His right hand, just at the highest place of authority, and He has given Him a name that is above every name, the name at which every knee must bow and every tongue confess. And you know, He said, if we ask anything in His name, that name gives us access. That name brings us whatever it is that He has, that we need to change our circumstances. It comes through the name of Jesus. And right now is a time where we want to pray. If anyone needs prayer this morning, we want to pray over those. We welcome those who are watching online, whatever stream you're watching on. You are part of this. If there's a need in your life, we want to pray over that. But we're going to have our prayer team come up. We have one more worship song, and we're going to sing to the Lord. But we're going to have our prayer team come up. They know the power of the name of Jesus. And we will agree with you and apply the name of Jesus to any circumstance that has come against you. And right now, I'm going to pray over those that are watching. Father, I thank You for Your precious name, Your name that is above every name. And I just speak to every pain, every disease, every sickness, every depression, anxiety, Father, discouragement that has come upon Your people. I just speak by the name of Jesus. I speak freedom. I speak healing. Father, I thank You for Your anointing that just carries through these airwaves and ministers to people right where they're sitting. I thank You that pain goes, that fog off their brain just lifts, Father, that depression lifts, and that hope and encouragement is planted in their hearts this morning in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So as we sing this final song, we're going to worship God. If you're not coming for prayer, just put your heart before Him. Just lift your heart before Him. Forget about people around you. Everybody's thinking about what they sound like. They're not thinking about what you sound like. Just worship God with everything you have this morning. Amen.
holds a weight above them all. His fame outlasts the earth he formed. His
It's trembling, chains are breaking.
We'll break
Let's do that again.
Let's do it.
I like that.
We'll shake
like
and it. Tremble yes. before Him. Chains will break as heaven will sing. Holy is the name. Holy is the name of Jesus. 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 Come on. The earth will shake and tremble before Him. Chains will break as heaven will sing. Holy is the name. Holy chest drums. Name of Jesus. Come on, chest drums. Come on, mom. Ready? The earth will shake and tremble.
You up, we magnify you. Hallelujah, Jesus. It's all about Jesus, family. That's why we're here today. We're here to worship Jesus. Do you know that part of the reason that we gather together as a church in person is to worship the Lord? Corporate worship. One of the reasons we gather together is to worship the Lord. Every one of us. The Bible says, let everyone sing. Let everyone praise. Let none be left out. Let everybody stir yourself up on the inside and give God praise with all you've got. Jesus, it's all about you. There is no other name. There is no other name that has been given by which we can be saved but the name of Jesus. When Peter and John went to the gate beautiful and they saw the lame man and he was asking for money, and Peter said to him, silver and gold we do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. The Bible says that he took him by the hand, and immediately his feet received strength. He jumped up. He went with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. And when people saw him, they knew that he'd been paralyzed. They knew he'd been lame. When they saw him, they ran up to Peter and John, and they started wanting to worship them. And Peter said, no, we're just men like you are. It was faith in the name of Jesus that healed this man. Peter gave all the credit to the name of Jesus. And let me tell you, the name of Jesus belongs to you. Jesus has given you his name because he said, in my name, the believer will lay hands upon those who are sick and they will be healed. In my name, the believer will cast out demons. In my name, he said that we will do the same things that he did. Why? Because we've been given the name of Jesus. And when you declare in the name of Jesus, let me tell you, heaven backs you up. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all the angels back you up. You have authority in the name of Jesus. Say, thank you, Lord. For the name of Jesus.
For the name of Jesus.
Say, Jesus, we give you all praise.
We give you all worship.
All worship. Amen and amen.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a good time of worship. I'm glad we got ourselves stirred up right there. You know, as Pastor Steve was saying, he took the words right out of my mouth. Corporate worship is really important. And for those that are watching at home, we understand. We're so glad that you're able to watch. And there is a time where you can worship God on your own. That's wonderful. But the Bible, you know, there was Mary and Martha. And Martha was serving, and that's all good. But the church is Mary. She's got to come and worship. She's got to come to the, there was always a sacred assembly called. There was always a corporate assembly called for worship. So it's really important to the Lord. Amen. So good worshiping. Praise God. You may just welcome someone and you may be seated. Thanks. God. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. So good to see your faces this morning. Welcome to those watching online on Facebook Live. We're on our mobile app. We're on YouTube. We're on our website, ascendchurch.us. And so there's various ways that you're able to watch, you're able to be here in person. But welcome to you all. We're so glad to be able to share this time of worship and the time of the Word together. And I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. If you've never been to a service at our church, we just welcome you. We'd like to hand you a visit pack right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we could welcome you? Anyone for the first time? Sometimes people are shy. God bless you. Come on. Give a shout like you mean it. I love to see visitors. So glad you came today. I don't know if someone invited you or how you happen to be here, but I don't believe it's by accident. I pray that you get everything you need from the Lord today. Amen. And we miss our regular members that watch online. We think of you so often, and we look forward to the day you're coming back. We understand many people that have not come back yet, the reasons for that, and we get it, but we are looking forward to seeing you soon. Just want to say that our service is translated into Spanish. So as we are having the English service right now, we have somebody translating it into Spanish. And so that's available on our, as you watch it on our app, and it's available on our YouTube. Not on our YouTube, just on our app. On our website and on our app, there's a Spanish translation. That's great for if you have somebody who's perhaps not very proficient at English and you want to share the message with them, you can go ahead and do that and it'll be a blessing to them. So if you want to go ahead and share us on social media, it's always a way. We have far more people that watch us online than we do that are actually in service. And so go ahead and share it. You never know who gets to watch it. I'm sometimes surprised because I'll have somebody... I had someone who lived next door to me when I was 5 years old. I had someone else who was at high school with me. And you never know who needs to hear the Word of God at what time. So it's always good to share the Word. Amen. Thanks, Pastor Steve. So nice to have the beautiful Francesca Barry with us. Look at her. Even if she comes without the grandkids, right? We get it.
All right, there we go. Well, good. Well, how many of you yesterday watched the return, the event, The Return, with Jonathan Kahn? We live streamed it here at the church. How many of you watched it? How many of you watched Franklin Graham's prayer march yesterday, also at the same time? Well, just to let you know, if you're not aware of it, an amazing thing happened yesterday in America. I said an amazing thing happened yesterday in America. Franklin Graham had 80,000 people for the prayer march in Washington praying. We live streamed Jonathan Kahn and the return. It was called The Return. And that was also from Washington, D.C. And I want to thank everyone who came yesterday. When Jonathan, there was such a presence of God. Even watching here, and the live stream was so great, such a great picture, HD. And when Jonathan was speaking, and The Return is a call from God for America to return to God. That's what it is. You see, the scripture says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven and then I will heal the land. You see, so with prayer, there's also repentance. We've got to turn away from sin and wickedness and anything that is displeasing God, and we've got to return to Him and call upon Him. Then God heals and restores. And so that's what it was about. And when Jonathan was speaking yesterday, Jonathan Kahn, the presence of God came on me so strong, I just started weeping. I just started crying. I just felt the presence of the Lord. And I believe that something significant happened in America yesterday. I really believe so. I want you to understand that we're in a war between light and darkness. If you're only looking at this from a political standpoint, you're kind of missing the big picture, because it's a war with light and darkness. And I'm glad I'm on the winning team. I don't know about you, but we're on the winning team. I read the back of the book. We win. I read the back of the book. We win. You don't have to be concerned. Amen. So praise God. Thank you for everyone who came yesterday to pray. Remember that before service on Sunday, we pray from 9:15 to 9:45. I want to encourage you to come and join us for prayer. Because first of all, you need to know how to pray. And secondly, as we pray, things happen. God, when you call upon the Lord, He answers. Amen? And so I'm going to keep on this. I'm not going to let it go, because I cannot back away. When you read the Bible, you read the scriptures over and over and over, it says pray without ceasing. Never stop praying. Be faithful in prayer. Pray for us. Pray. It's over and over and over and over again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to welcome all those who are watching, as my wife said, online. We have people watching all over the world. We're so glad that you're watching us today. I want to welcome everyone who is here in person. I want to welcome all of our new guests today. I hope I get a chance to meet you. My wife, Jill and I, we're always in the lobby. We're always the last people here. We'd love to meet you if you can stay. That would be wonderful. I want to encourage you, if you're watching this online on Facebook, please share it. Share it on your Facebook. Send a comment. Let us know where you're watching this from. There's four different ways you can watch our service: on Facebook, on our website, ascendchurch.us. You can watch it on our YouTube channel and on our mobile app. There's four different ways. We're excited that November 15th, we'll be going on Fox 29, 7:30 a.m. We're going to be going on television. It was going to be on November 1st. I pushed it back to November 15th just to give us a little more time, but we are excited about that. The Lord's opening doors all over. The man who arranged, the company who arranged for us to get on Fox, he contacted me. He said, I'm going to get you on another big network for free. They have 10 million viewers. I'm going to put your show on that as well. And then I found out just on Friday night, I kind of had a download from heaven. I've had it in my heart for a while to write a book, and I've been thinking a lot about it. And I said to Jill, I just got my idea for a book. I'm going to take 12 of my best sermons and I'm going to put them together in one book. And she looked at me like this. I found out that Mike Francine, our good friend, who's a great evangelist and written 29 books, he already started doing it. He's already started putting the book together. He's helping me. So I'm trusting by Christmas we'll have my book out, Radical Faith. That'll be great to have. Radical Faith is going to be the name of the book. And I'm going to put I'm going to put 12 or 13 of my most things that have the greatest lessons I've ever learned in my life are going to be in that book. Of course, faith will be one of them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for God's word today? Say, I'm ready. I'm ready, Pastor Steve. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word brings freedom. Jesus, you said we will know the truth and the truth will make us free. I thank you for bringing freedom in our life today. I thank you, Lord, that your word will go forth by your anointing into every person's heart. I thank you that faith will rise up big in our heart. I thank you that all unbelief and all doubt will be removed. I thank you, Lord, for bringing revelation and understanding to every person's mind. I thank you, Lord, that we will walk out of here with a radical kind of faith, willing to believe you for the impossible. And Lord, we give you all the praise for everything said and done in the name of Jesus. Amen. That's what I want to speak about today. I want to speak to you about radical faith. Radical faith. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in the book of Acts. And I love the Message Bible in this particular scripture. It says in Acts 20, verse 20, it says, Paul said, I taught you out in public and I taught you in your homes, urging Jews and Greeks alike to a radical life change before God and an equally radical trust in our Master Jesus. Paul said, I was urging you to have a radical kind of trust in Jesus. And how many of you know another word for the word trust is the word faith? Amen? In fact, the word trust actually means a firm belief in the reliability or the truth or the ability or the strength of someone or something. So when we talk about having radical trust or faith, it's about being convinced that God that He is able, that in His ability, in His strength. And the word radical means very different from the usual or the traditional. The word radical means extreme. It means fanatic, crazy. I want to encourage you to have a crazy kind of faith, an extreme kind of faith, a fanatical kind of faith. Someone said, oh man, that church, they're all fanatics. Yeah, you're right. We're fanatical about Jesus. We're fanatical about the Word of God. We are fans of Jesus. I'm extreme, man. I am radical. And I've got news for you. God wants you to be radical too. I'm not talking about average, ordinary faith. I'm talking about above and beyond faith, where you have a boldness, where you have a confidence to believe for the extraordinary, to believe for the impossible. Even if it goes against nature itself, even if nature says that cannot happen. You see, average faith says, God, just help me to survive this recession, this pandemic. Radical faith says, God, I believe you'll prosper me right in the midst of this recession. I believe I'm coming out of this better than ever before. Average faith says, maybe one day I'll get out of this problem I'm in. I'm not sure. It looks really bad. But radical faith says, I know I'm not only coming out of this, but I'm coming out of this better off than I was before. When you have radical faith, you don't just believe to make your monthly house payment. You believe to pay off your house. Radical faith is an uncommon, extreme faith where you believe that God can do anything. You don't make little plans. You don't say, well, Lord, just let me go as far as my parents went. Then I'll be okay. Then I'll be successful. No, radical faith says, Lord, give me a double portion. Let me do twice as much as those who went before me. Let me give twice as much. Let me have twice the influence, twice the wisdom, twice the friends, twice the creativity, twice the income. That's radical faith. You may think that's kind of bold. You may say, well, Pastor Steve, who do you think you are? We sang it today. I know who I am. Do you know who you are? I'm a child of the Most High God. How about you? I'm a child of the Most High God, full of radical faith. Amen. And you know, some of you have average faith, and that's good. You love God, and you believe to make it through. But if you want to see God amaze you, if you want to see the goodness of God poured out like never before, you need to take it one step further and come over today into this radical kind of faith. Take the limits off of God. Believe that you can rise higher. Believe that you can overcome every obstacle. Radical faith is pleasing to God. Do you know that? Hebrews 11 verse 6 says this, without faith, it's impossible to please God. The Bible says it's impossible. You cannot please God. There's no way you can please God without faith. And let me tell you now, radical, extreme, crazy faith is pleasing to God. If you want to be more pleasing to God, release your faith in a greater way. Like one time, a Roman centurion came to Jesus and his servant was ill, was paralyzed, was at home in bed, very sick. And Jesus said to the Roman centurion, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied to Jesus in Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. He said, just say the word from where you are. Just say the word. Just speak the word. And my servant will be healed. Lord, you don't have to come to my house. Just say the word. The Bible says when Jesus heard it, he was amazed. He turned to those who were following and he said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. This was what this man, this Roman centurion did. Jesus never saw it before. No one ever said it before. No one ever said to Jesus, of all the children of Israel, you don't have to come to my house, just speak the word, until this Roman centurion came along. And Jesus said, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. This man had radical faith. He asked for something that Jesus never ever heard of before. Amen. I heard about this young girl. Her name was Jamie, 7 years old. She lives on a farm with her family. Well, she's not seven anymore. She grew up a little bit. But when she was seven, she was living on a farm with her family, and they had a cow, and it was about to give birth. And her father already told her that they weren't keeping any more cows. And every time one was born, they'd either give it away or they'd sell it. But for some reason, Jamie really wanted to keep this calf. And she pleaded with her dad. And eventually he made a deal. He said, if the calf is born black, then you can keep it. She didn't know any better. She started praying. Lord, I thank you. This calf is going to be born black, and there's going to be no doubt that it belongs to me. A few weeks later, the calf was born. Not only was he born black, between his eyes, he had a white J, like God put a stamp on it. So they would know this calf belongs to Jamie. There you go. The little J. That's radical faith. See, most of us adults, we wouldn't pray for something like that. We'd say, well, it's too late because the cow's already pregnant. It's a bit too late. We think that's far out. That's radical. That's extreme. That's crazy. But you know what I've learned? Radical faith gets radical results. Extreme faith gets extreme results. When you release your faith in an uncommon way, you're going to see God do uncommon things. See, your medical report, it might tell you that it's impossible for you to get well. But there's another report, and it says, with God, all things are possible. When you got this radical kind of faith, you rise up and say, that's for me. Even though I don't see a way, God, I know you can make a way. So I thank you that you are restoring health back to me. Maybe your finances don't look too good. Seems like you're never going to get out of debt. Let me tell you, you'll never see your business take off. But there's a report that says, God's favor surrounds me like a shield. There's a report that says, I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. There's a report that says, whatever I put my hand to, it will prosper. You say, I don't think so, Pastor Steve, not with what's going on in the world right now. Business is so slow. Business closed down. I'm just trying to make it through. That's average faith. That'll keep you right where you are. You've got to come over like Jamie to this radical faith. Your attitude should be, God, you said I would lend and not borrow. You said that because I'm a tither, you would open the windows of heaven and you would pour blessing upon me that I cannot contain. You said you'd prosper me in a desert. So I'm asking you, Lord, for supernatural favor. Draw new clients to me. Cause me to stand out in the crowd. Give me breaks that I don't even deserve, Lord. Have a radical kind of faith. Type of faith that believes God no matter what the circumstances look like. Start believing God for the impossible. Make no little plans. Start believing God and asking God that in the natural don't even make sense. A crazy kind of faith. Believe God for 100% healing and wholeness. Believe God for checks in the mail. Believe God for promotions on your job. Believe God for zero balances with your creditors. Believe God to slash your bills in half. Believe God for things that are crazy, impossible in the natural realm. Have a radical kind of faith. If God can part the Red Sea, if God can turn water into wine, if God can say, let there be light and there was light, how much more you being a child of God Can you ask for these things and see him do these radical kind of things? Amen. When you tap into this radical faith, let me tell you, there is a boldness, there is a confidence to ask God for his goodness in a greater way. That's what allows God to do unusual things in your life. When you believe God for radical things, he'll do radical things. Things that don't make sense will happen. Crazy, weird, abnormal things that don't even make any sense, you'll see take place in your life. I want to encourage you today. Do not be afraid to ask God for crazy, radical, don't make sense kind of things. God wants to do such things in your life. He just requires that you ask him and that you have this radical kind of faith. Some people say, well, Pastor Steve, you know, I don't want to bother God. If he wants to bless me, then he'll bless me. If he wants me well, then he'll make me well. No, the scripture says in James 4 verse 2, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. The reason you don't have what you want, have you asked God for it? He wants you to ask him. Do you ever ask God for the uncommon? Do you ever go beyond just asking God for your daily needs and ask God for extraordinary favor? Ask God for unusual breaks so you can accomplish a dream, so you can overcome an obstacle. This is what Joshua did. Joshua had radical faith. You know, Joshua became Israel's leader right after Moses. How'd you like to follow Moses? But God used Joshua in an amazing way. Joshua was in the midst of a great battle against five different armies joined together. And they were fighting this battle. But the sun was going down. And Joshua knew if they didn't totally defeat the enemy, later on the enemy would come back. And he could have easily gotten discouraged and thought this isn't going to happen. But Joshua had this radical kind of faith. He was bold. And Joshua prayed in Joshua 10 verse 12. On the day the Lord gave the Israelites victory over the Amorites, Joshua prayed to the Lord in front of all the people of Israel. And he said, let the sun stand still over Gibeon. And the moon over the valley of Ajalon. Joshua was saying, God, I know this is unusual. I know this is out of the ordinary. How many of you believe that's out of the ordinary? But I'm asking you, Lord, to stop the sun, to stop the moon, so I can defeat this enemy. Can you imagine the nerve of Joshua? He asked God to do something that had never been done before. I mean, God could have said to him, Joshua, who do you think you are? I'm not going to stop the sun because you asked me to. That's kind of selfish. That might disrupt other people. No, when you have this radical kind of faith, it brings a smile to the face of God. I can imagine God turn to the angels and say to him, listen to Joshua's prayer. Man, he's extreme. He's radical. He believes I can do anything. God really said, in effect, to Joshua, Joshua, if you're bold enough to ask for it, I'm bold enough to do it. The scripture says in verse 13, so the sun stood still and the moon stayed in place until the nation of Israel had defeated its enemies. Isn't that amazing? It says, there's never been a day like this one before or since when the Lord answered such a prayer. Surely the Lord fought for Israel that day. What happened? God interrupted the entire universe just because one man had radical faith. Do you know scientists have proved this to be true? I read an article by Harold Hill. He's the president of the Curtis Engine Company in Baltimore, Maryland, and he's a consultant for the NASA. And they were checking the position of the sun and the moon and the planets in space and where they would be in the next 100 years, they have to know these things because, you know, so that they don't want to send up a satellite and have it bump into something later on in one of its orbits. They've got to plan it out. And if they have to lay out the orbits in terms of the life of the satellite and where the planets are going to be so the whole thing won't, you know, be bogged down. So they ran the computer measurements back and forth over the centuries, and it came to a halt. The computer stopped, and it put up a red signal. It meant there was something wrong. There's something wrong with the information that they'd put into the computer. And so they called in the service department to check out what was the problem. And they found that there was a day missing in space, in elapsed time. They couldn't find the answer. And finally, a Christian man on the team, he said, you know, one time I was in Sunday school, and they talked about the sun standing still. And they didn't believe him. But they didn't have any other answer, so they said, show us. So he got a Bible, he went to the book of Joshua, and he found the missing day. They checked the computers going, you know, back and forth into the time that was written, and they found it was close, but not close enough. The elapsed time that was missing back in Joshua's day was 23 hours and 20 minutes, not a whole day. So they read the Bible again, and there they saw it was. If you read it from the New King James Version in Joshua 10:13, it says, so the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. Wow. About a whole day. They are still in trouble because if you can't account for 40 minutes, you'd be in trouble 1,000 years from now. And so the 40 minutes had to be found because it can be multiplied many times over in orbits. And then the Christian remembered somewhere in the Bible, it said that the sun went backwards and the scientists told him he's out of his mind. But they got out the Bible, they read 2 Kings, where King Hezekiah was visited by the prophet Isaiah, who told him, get your house in order because you're going to die. But the king Ezekiel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told Isaiah to go back to the king and tell him that because of his prayer, he was going to heal him and add 15 more years to his life. So King Hezekiah asked for a sign as proof. And so in 2 Kings 20 verse 9, Isaiah said to King Hezekiah, this is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing which he has spoken. Shall the shadow go back? Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go backward 10 degrees? And Hezekiah said, it's an easy thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees, but let the shadow go back 10 degrees. In other words, turn back time. So Isaiah the prophet cried out to the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward by which it had gone down on the sundial of Ahaz. Now, 10 degrees is exactly 40 minutes. So 23 hours and 20 minutes in Joshua 10 plus 40 minutes in 2 Kings 20 make up the missing day in the universe. Let me tell you, family, we need to have the type of faith that believes God for radical things, even if it goes against nature. Even if people say that is not possible. Amen. I heard Pastor Joel Osteen tell when he first took over from his dad back in 1999, he was very concerned that the attendance of the church would drop. Even though he was doing his best, he was praying, he was studying, but he knew from years past that any time it rained on Sunday morning, the crowds would be down. Some people would stay away. I'm so glad it's not that way in this church. Doesn't matter how hard it rains. Doesn't matter if there's hurricanes coming through. Nothing keeps you away. Can you say amen? So Pastor Joel, he had this unusual boldness, this radical kind of faith, because every week he would pray that it wouldn't rain during Sunday morning service. And he didn't tell anybody except his wife, because he thought if people knew that, you know, they'd think, who do you think you are praying that it doesn't rain while you're having church? But he had this radical kind of faith. Amen. Thanks, Miguel. And so for 2 years, on the Sundays he was preaching, it might rain an hour before the service or 2 hours after the service, but not one time in 2 years did it rain during the service. And we did that when we had a summer bash one time. It had been raining every day in the summer. And we prayed that day it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain. I've done this many times in my life, prayed over the weather. That may sound far out to you, but we serve a far out kind of God. And God did it for Elijah. Amen? He did it for Elijah. In James chapter 5, in verse 16, it says, pray for one another to be instantly healed, for tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of a godly believer. It says the earnest prayer, in the New Living Translation, it says the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And it goes on to say, Elijah was a man with human frailties, just just like all of us, but he prayed and he received supernatural answers. He prayed and he received supernatural answers. Say, when I pray, I get supernatural answers. It says he actually shut the heavens over the land so there would be no rain for 3.5 years. He shut the heavens for 3.5 years. Then he prayed again and the skies opened up over the land so the rain came and produced its harvest. Now, when you have this radical, uncommon kind of faith, you'll see radical, uncommon kind of results. You may not need something as trivial as the weather. Maybe you need God to heal a child. Maybe you need a relationship restored. Maybe you need a break in a legal situation. Or maybe you need favor at work with a client. Are you releasing radical faith for the extraordinary and for the uncommon? I heard about a little girl who had an accident. Something fell on her fingers and cut the tips of her fingers off, all four fingers. It cut the tips of her fingers off, and they rushed her to the emergency room. And after they stopped the bleeding, a leading plastic surgeon examined her, and he told her father that there was nothing that they could do to restore her fingers back to normal because the bones had been cut in her fingers, so her fingers would always be a little bit shorter than the other hand, and she'd never have any fingernails. All they could do was a skin graft. And the father was very respectful to the doctor. He said, "Doctor, I believe God can restore her fingers, and I believe God can make her fingers normal again." And the doctor looked at him kind of strange, and, you know, the doctor was from another country. He didn't have any kind of religious upbringing, so this was very strange to him. And the doctor said to the little girl's father, he said, "Sir, you can believe that if you want to, but I'm just telling you the facts. The bone's been cut. It'll always be shorter, and for sure she won't have any fingernails." A little while later, the wife came in, and the doctor got her to the side, and he said, "Ma'am, your husband's in shock, and he won't accept the fact that the tips of your little girl's fingers have been cut off, the bones been cut." And she said, "That's okay, that's fine. I'll talk to him about it." They did the skin graft surgery, and 6 weeks later, they went back for a checkup. And when the doctor removed the bandages, the first words out of his mouth were, "Oh my God." The father was alarmed. He said, "What's wrong?" The doctor said, "Nothing's wrong. Your little girl has fingernails. It looks the same as the other hand." How many of you believe God can do the impossible? God can do what people cannot do. God's laws supersede the laws of nature. I'm not saying for us to be flaky and go around denying reality, but too often we just accept things as the way that it's always going to be. "Well, Steve, the experts told me, and this one told." That may be true, I respect that, but there's another expert, the one who created you, and just like he can keep the rain back, just like he can heal fingers, just like he stopped the sun for Joshua, he can help you overcome your obstacles, just like he caused Jamie's cough to be born black with a J on his forehead, God can give you favor to accomplish your dreams. The question is, are you bold enough to believe him? Are you bold enough to ask him? Are you releasing your faith in radical ways? What is holding you back? Because it's so easy to make excuses. "Oh, Pastor Steve, I'm from the wrong family. I didn't get breaks like other people. I've had this problem for so long. The economy is just too down. I've just made too many mistakes in my life." Let me tell you, God can still get you to your final destination. I want to light a fire in you today. There's no obstacle that is too difficult for you to overcome. There's no dream that God has put in your heart that is too big for you to accomplish. You've just got to ask yourself, is my faith radical? Is what I'm believing for, is the vision for my life, is it big enough to make someone think, "Who do you think you are?" Is what I'm believing God for crazy enough that people would look at me and say, "Who do you think you are?" Or have you gotten into a rut where you just accept that where you are is the way that it's always going to be? Because let me tell you, if you're not stretching your faith, then you're not tapping into everything that God has in store for you. If you're not stretching your faith, I love the story of Elisha and Elijah. Elisha was Elijah's personal assistant for many years. He traveled with Elijah and took care of Elijah. And Elijah was an older gentleman, and he was very well known for the miracles that he did. Everyone knew about the miracles Elijah did. And just before the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind in a chariot of fire, you know, Elijah didn't see death. In fact, the scripture says when Jesus comes back, Elijah's going to be seen in the street. There are going to be two witnesses, and Elijah's one of them. But anyway, that's beside the point. I'm just throwing that in for free. No extra charge to you. But Elijah, just before he's about to be taken up into heaven, he told Elisha, his servant, his assistant, to stay at Gilgal, because he said, the Lord told me to go to Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. And Elisha refused to leave him. Another translation says, I'm not letting you out my sight. A group of prophets came along and they asked Elisha if he knew that the Lord was going to take Elijah up to heaven. And Elisha said, of course I know. Keep quiet. Keep silent. Yes, I know. You might say today's language, yeah, I know. Shut up. Zip it. I don't want to talk about it. I know about it. Elijah tells Elisha to stay in Bethel because the Lord's told him to go to Jericho. Elisha gives him the same response. As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. I'm not letting out my sight. Then Elijah tells Elisha to stay in Jericho because he's going to the Jordan River. And what does Elisha say? Same thing. I won't leave you. When they get to the Jordan River, Elijah takes his cloak and he rolls it up and he hits the water with it and the Jordan River parts. What an entrance, huh? They walk across on dry ground. When they get to the other side, this is what happens. 2 Kings 2. Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be on me. Let a double portion of your spirit be on you. He was saying, I want twice the miracles. I want twice the influence. I want twice the wisdom. I want twice the anointing. I want a double portion of the spirit that's on you. I'm sure Elijah nearly passed out. I'm sure Elijah thought, you bold boy. You know, you bold. You something else to ask me for that. How many of you think Elisha had bold faith? It says in verse 10, Elijah said, you've asked me a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. That's why Elisha said, I ain't letting you out my sight. You getting it now? Here's the key word in that scripture. Go back to that again, that scripture. He said, you've asked me a hard thing. Nevertheless, there's the key word. Nevertheless, he was saying it may be hard. You've asked for something big. Nevertheless, it will happen. It's not too big for God. Amen. And the Bible says in verse 11, then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it. He cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and he tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him. And he went back and he stood by the bank of the Jordan River. And he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him. And he struck the water and he said, where is the God of Elijah? And when he struck the water, it was divided this way and that. And Elisha crossed over. I love it, man. Elisha comes over. He gets God's mantle. He gets Elijah's mantle. He says, where's the God of Elijah? And the river parts and he walks across. And it says, when the sun of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. And they came to meet him and they bowed down low before the ground before him. Let me tell you, if you study Elisha's life, you'll find out that he did twice the number of miracles that Elijah did. Elijah, there are recorded 8 miracles. Elisha, there are recorded 16 miracles. He got a double portion of Elijah's anointing. I wonder what would happen if you and I were bold enough to ask God, God, I'm asking you to do twice what my parents did. Let me have twice the influence. Let me have twice the wisdom. Let me have twice the favor. Let me have twice the income in the name of Jesus. I don't know about you. I want my kids to go beyond where I went. I want my kids to have greater than what I had in my life. How about you? That's the way God intended that every generation would increase. Every generation would increase. So I want to encourage you, family, take the limits off of God, release your faith in uncommon, radical ways, and you'll see God do uncommon, radical things. I believe, family, that if we'll step it up and believe God for the uncommon, then what is uncommon to us will become common to our children. What am I saying? Don't be satisfied to maintain the status quo in your family. God wants you to go further. He wants you to set a new standard. He wants you to believe for the double portion. He wants you to be bold like Elisha and say, God, let me go twice as far as those that have gone before me went. Maybe you're facing a situation today. It looks too far gone. It looks too late. It looks like it can never change. Pastor Steve, you don't understand. It's too late. That's what happened to a lady in the Bible. Her name was Martha. And her brother Lazarus was very sick. And Martha and her sister Mary, they were good friends with Jesus. So they sent word to Jesus to come quickly. But Jesus was out of town and he kept getting delayed. And 4 days later, Jesus showed up and Martha said something amazing. Martha had this radical kind of faith. She said in John 11:21, she said, Jesus, Lord, if only you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Even now I know God will give you whatever you ask. See, sometimes you've got to have an even now kind of faith. It looks impossible. It looks like it's over and done with. The medical report says you're done. The marriage looks over. You're down to your final paycheck. Let me tell you, that's when you got to dig your heels in. And like Martha say, God, I know even now you can still turn it around. Even now the doctors say there's no hope. But even now you can restore health to me. Amen. My child hasn't spoken to me in years, but even now you can restore that relationship. My finances are running out, but even now you can prosper me. Have an even now kind of faith. Jesus told them, roll away the stone from Lazarus. They all made excuses. They said, Lord, you don't want to do that. It stinks. He'd been dead 4 days. They tried to talk him out of it. But finally, they did what Jesus said. What happened when they did? John 11, verse 43, Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. It's a good thing he shouted his name. Because if he hadn't, everyone in that grave would have came out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth, and Jesus said, unwrap him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. He rose from the dead. It all started because Martha dared to believe for the extraordinary, for the impossible. You see, a radical faith says, even though my situation looks dead, even though it looks like I'll never accomplish my dreams, even though it looks like I'll never be vindicated, I believe God can turn it around. I believe God can do the impossible. Even now, I believe God can restore that to me. When you have this radical faith, you know nothing is impossible. Just like God raised Lazarus from the dead, God can resurrect your dead dreams. He can resurrect a dead marriage. He can resurrect dead health. He can resurrect dead finances. Amen? It may have gotten so bad, you may feel like it stinks. There's no way in the natural. But here's the good news. God has a way when you can't see a way. God has a way. And when you're down to nothing, if you will stay in faith and believe that all things are possible, then God will show up and God will show out for you and God will amaze you with his goodness. But you got to shake off all discouragement today. You got to shake off negativity, shake off defeat. God is still on the throne. Amen? Amen. Will you have this radical kind of faith? Do you believe God can hold the sun still and make the moon stop for 24 hours just for you? Do you believe God can stop the rain from falling for 3.5 years just for you? Would you think to pray and ask God for something that's impossible? I know I wouldn't have thought of such a thing, you know, because rain is just something that happens. Why would God hold up the rain for me? But he did for Elijah. 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9 tells us, for the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. You see, God is looking for people that have a radical kind. kind of faith. He's looking for people that have an uncommon kind of faith. He's looking for people that have an extreme, even crazy kind of faith, because God wants to do radical things. James 4 verse 2, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. What does that mean? That means you can pray for anything. If you have faith, you will receive it. Jesus said in Matthew 21, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, it will be done. And whatever you ask in prayer, whatever you ask in prayer, say whatever. Whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive. If you have this radical kind of faith, that means you can pray for a mountain in your life to be moved. And if you pray and believe it, that mountain will be moved. Amen. Psalm 2 verse 7, I love it. It says, let me tell you what God said next. He said, you my son, and today's your birthday. What do you want? Name it. Nations as a prize. Continents as a prize. You know what that's telling me? When God says today is your birthday, on your birthday, more than any other time, you feel entitled to ask for something out of the ordinary, something that maybe you wouldn't usually ask for. Amen? Come on, Miguel. Normally, you don't want anyone to go out of their way for you, but on your birthday, you think, I tell you what, I'm going to ask for that favor. I'm going to ask for that new outfit. I'm going to ask for that new set of golf clubs. I wouldn't normally do it. And over time, as we get older, our enthusiasm may wane, but think back to the time when you were a child and you knew it was your special day, you had a boldness to ask for what you really wanted when you were a child. I mean, our daughter Courtney, I mean, she had a boldness. When she was 10 years old, she said, Dad, she was 10 years old, for my birthday, I want to take me and five of my friends on a yacht to Bahamas. I just laughed at her. Are you joking? She's like, Dad, don't have a poverty mentality. Think big. She's been like that since she was 10 years old, boy. She didn't get a yacht in the Bahamas, but she got four of her friends that go to New York City for the weekend. I mean, she talked me into that one. So have a bold kind of faith. Because let me tell you, God wants to show himself strong. God searches the whole earth looking to show his magnificence, looking to show his great power. The question is, are you believing God for the impossible? Are you believing God for radical things in your life? Have a radical kind of faith, the kind of faith that believes God no matter what the circumstances look like. The type of faith that asks God for things that people typically wouldn't ask God for things that even go against nature, things that don't even make sense in the natural realm. That's impossible. Start believing God for radical things in your life. I'm expecting to hear amazing testimonies of people say, Pastor Steve, let me tell you, the radical thing God's done for me, crazy what God's doing. All things are possible. Jesus said in Matthew 19, 26, with men, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Say, with God. Say, with God, all things are possible. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say, with God, all things are possible. Say, I'm with God. So all things are possible. The Passion Bible says, what seems impossible to you is never impossible to God. Mark 9, 23 says, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Say, I believe. I believe all things are possible. I'm going to declare it over to you today. In the name of Jesus, what you thought was the end is going to turn out to be a new beginning. That job you lost, you thought it's over. God's about to open up a new, better position for you in the name of Jesus. People might have lied about you, try to ruin your reputation. Let me tell you, God is vindicating you. God is making your wrongs right in Jesus' name. The economy may be down, but God's going to supernaturally increase you. God's going to draw new clients to you. God's going to open new doors for you. God's going to give you favor in an unprecedented way in the name of Jesus. You might have had unfair situations growing up. All the odds may be against you right now, but I want you to know nobody can keep you from your destiny. No obstacle is too big for you to overcome. What's happened in your past is not nearly as important as what is going to happen in your future. Right now, the creator of the universe, his face is shining down on you, and he's going to open doors for you that nobody can shut. He's going to bring the right people across your path. He's going to bring the right breaks and the right opportunities. Not only that, God is going to restore the years that have been stolen, the years where people treated you wrongly and badly. It may look like it's never going to work out, but I declare God's going to get you to your final destination, and you are going to become everything God destined you to be, and you are going to have everything God destined you to have in the name of Jesus. Do you believe it today? Come on, give him a big hand of praise. Hallelujah. Say, I got radical faith. I got extreme faith. There's nothing that is impossible. Because I'm with God and all things are possible because I'm a believer. Amen. I don't know about you, man, but I preached myself happy today. I preached myself happy today. You get something out of this today? Will you take the challenge? Have a radical kind of faith? Believe big, dream big, dare to ask God for big things? Amen. You may have had disappointments, setbacks. We all have. Remember, every setback is simply a setup for a greater comeback. Don't dare settle where you are. God wants you to set a new standard for your family. You can overcome that obstacle. You can accomplish that God-given dream. Amen. If you'll just have this radical, crazy, extreme, even now, nevertheless kind of faith, just like with Joshua, God's going to do the extraordinary for you. Just like with Jamie and that black cow, God's going to give you favor that nobody can deny. Just like with Martha, God's going to turn the impossibility around, resurrect dead dreams. And when it's all said and done, you'll be able to say, the Lord has been good to me. God has shown up and shown out in my life in amazing ways. Amen. Bow your head for a moment if you would. Father, I thank you for every person here today and every person watching this. And Lord, I thank you that your word goes forth into every heart. It does not return void, but it accomplishes that which you purpose. I thank you, Lord, that your word causes us to have this radical, extreme, crazy kind of faith where we believe you for the impossible and we dare to ask you for what seems impossible, Lord. I thank you today for every person here today. I pray for each and every one that you will lead them and guide them into the destiny and the plan and purpose that you have for their life. While you have your head bowed, while you have your eyes closed, Jesus said, unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. If you've never been born again, you need to be born again today. If you're not sure where you stand with God, if you're not sure if all is right between you and the Lord, I want to ask you a question today. If you were to die today, are you sure of where you would spend eternity? Do you know that there is a heaven to gain? Heaven is a real place, and there is a hell to shun. And let me tell you the good news. You can walk out of here today. You can know that all is right between you and God. You can know that every mistake you ever committed in your life, it's forgiven and washed away. And you can know for sure that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend eternity. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Even if you're watching this online, if you want to be included in this prayer, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I'm not sure where I stand with God. I want to be sure. I'm not sure what would happen to me if I die. I want to make sure. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, if you want to be included in this prayer, I'm going to ask you right now just to slip your hand up high, just to lift up your hand, raise it up. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, wave it at me right now. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer today. If you're watching this online, I want you to say this with me. Everybody, say this. The scripture says in Romans 10 verse 9 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So let's say it out together. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much. You sent Jesus, your son, to come to this earth, to die on a cross for me, to take my sin. Lord, you said that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I confess Jesus is my Lord, you said I would be saved. I would be your child. I do this today. I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Lord, save me. I confess, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to do what your Bible says. Come on, say it with me. Say, because I have done this, I thank you, Lord. I'm now saved. I am born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home, and my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And everybody said amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want to congratulate you. The best decision you ever made in your life. I encourage you to start reading your Bible, praying, get into a good church where you're gonna learn God's word. And if you live anywhere near Jupiter, we'd love to have you come visit us. Amen. God bless you. Before you get up, Jill, I just want to ask Bruce to come up. Okay.
I just want to read a couple of verses. I took that into account. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, I tell you what, you stirred my faith today. Anybody have their faith stirred? Come on, we get in this. There's always something we should be applying our faith to. Amen. And we got to just, thanks for that like super boost this morning. That was a boost of faith. We can believe God for some big things. Well, family, now's the time in the service where we give to the Lord. We have the opportunity to give. And for those that are watching online, it's really simple. You can go ahead and click give online. First time, it's a little setup. And the second time, it's just straight, very easy. It's the way I always give. And a lot of people, thank you for being so faithful. People give on recurring giving, which is such a blessing to the church and for your faithfulness. But you can prepare yourself as you get ready. There's envelopes in the seats where you are, or there's various ways to give. It'll come up on the screen. Easy to text give. But I always like to just read a scripture. And based on what yesterday we had, man, the presence of God was so strong in this place. As Jonathan Kahn was really prophetically talking about the need for this nation to return to God, and to return to God in the way, in righteous judgment, in showing justice, in all these, in everything. Just do things God's way. He's like, come back to doing things my way. And so in thinking about the offering, I had to think of the scripture in Malachi 3. I'm going to read three verses. He says this. He says, ever since, he's talking to the children of Israel and giving them a word. The prophet Malachi is speaking to them and he's giving them a word from the Lord. He says, ever since the days of your ancestors, you've scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. Now return to me and I will return to you. You know, the all throughout the Old Testament, that the theme, the whole Bible is return, repent, and restoration. Return, repent, and restoration. Any time in our life, doesn't matter how many times you fall down, you do the wrong thing, you return, repent, and God restores. That's the way it is. But he says this, he says, you people have gone away from me, and so return to me. And they said, how can we return when we've never gone away? And then he said, this is the word from God to them, should people cheat you, God? Yet you've cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you, God? He said, you've cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. So God's telling them to return to him in this area. There's many areas we can return to God. But he says, you got to get something straight here with your finances, right? He's like, return to me the tithes and the offerings that are due to me. So God was expecting them. And when they didn't come, he was saying, come back to doing it the right way. He said, you're under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple, my house. And if you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have room enough to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Okay, so it's return, repent, and restoration. So he talks about the tithes and offerings that are due to him. This is God talking to the people. Come on. People don't want to talk about money, but God talks about money. They're like, what are we doing? We don't even know what you're talking about. And God's like, now let's just tell you straight. He said, first of all, the tithe, all throughout the Bible, we see it. It's a tenth. And he said, that belongs to me. Leviticus 27:30, he says, the tithe belongs to the Lord. That means if I get $10, God expects the first one. He says, that belongs to me, right? And so we just get, he says, it's due to me. And the result of that, when we put God first, and when we honor him with the tithe, as many of you do, that the windows of heaven are open above us, and there's a blessing that rests on us. And a curse is lifted, right? That's the hand of God. And then he says, but he says tithes and offerings. It's two different things. And sometimes people think, well, if I give, it's an offering. There's a tithe. And then it was specified that it was an offering. And so offerings are what we do out of our 90% that we have left over. As, you know, I don't earn 100, give 10, and say, that's my tithe and offering. No, that's my tithe. If I give $11, that's my tithe and offering, right? Just like to explain, because sometimes we read these things in the Bible and we just think one thing is something and it's not. And so an offering is out of our 90%, and it's as you purpose in your own heart. God doesn't say it has to be a certain percentage or this or that. You could give everything, as some people have in this church have done. Or you can give less, whatever it is, as you purpose in your heart. However, it is seed time and harvest. It is sowing and reaping. So if you need a big harvest, you should sow a bigger seed, right? And whatever, it's like if you had an apple seed, if I plant an apple seed, I don't expect to get back an apple. I can get back an orchard, right? I can have a lot of apples because the harvest is always greater than the seed. So when God stirs your heart, and he will, he said there are tithes and offerings due to me. So we know what the tithe is, but at times he stirs our hearts to give an offering. Obey it, because he's thinking about the harvest that he has for you. Amen. Just one. Let me just read this verse from 2 Corinthians. It says, this generous God who supplies abundant seed for the farmer. Say, God gives me seed, which becomes bread for our meals, is even more extravagant towards you. First, he supplies every need. Say, God supplies my every need, plus more. Then he multiplies the seed as you sow it. Say, God multiplies every seed as I sow it. And it says, so that the harvest of your generosity will grow and you will be abundantly enriched in every way as you give generously on every occasion. Amen. So I want to encourage you in your giving that there is a harvest that is attached to it. Amen. And Tom, Bruce is going to come. Come on up here, Bruce. Why don't you?
I'm going to. Thank you. Let me have that bit. Bruce asked me if he could say a few words. How many of you know Bruce? Captain Bruce over here. And he asked me if he could say a few words. And I'm going to try and limit him, hold him back, because he'll preach. You get him going. I'm telling you right now, he'll preach all day here. But that's good. But you came to me last week because the Lord has opened a door for us to go on television on Fox 29, as I told you. God opened this door. I wasn't seeking after it. The Lord opened the door. And so starting November 15th is going to be our first day. We'll be airing at 7:30 a.m. on Fox 29. And I see Christ Fellowship come on at 8. We'll be on at 7:30. And so anyway, we've got to invest in our television equipment. We need some more equipment. Right now, we just have one camera. We need to have at least two more cameras. We need three cameras. And there's equipment involved, switches and all kinds of things. Now, if you don't know me, I shop around and I get the best deals. That's just the way I am. The cameras that we have, they're not, I mean, the cameras can go up very expensive, but these ones are usually about $2,500. But I shop around. I got them for $1,500. I look around. I get one from here, from there, and there. I just want you to know that we're very wise and careful, and I always like to get the best deal. But to get all the equipment we need is about $10,000 to get everything we need to go to this level. And so I mentioned it last Sunday, and Bruce, he just said, Pastor Steve, I just would want to say a word. I want to encourage, I want to challenge. You said the men, but it's not just the men. There's women out here too. It's everybody. We got some of our women are bigger givers than the men. Let me tell you right now. Talk to the woman too. So, families. So, Bruce, come on. When you started coming to this church about 2016, hold this mic up to you.
That's right.
About 2016, you started coming to the church because my mother, my dad passed away in 2013. My mom put an ad in the Stuart newspaper.
Stuart Home Shopping.
And she put an ad to sell his shoes.
Right.
She was selling his alligator shoes, right? Right. And you saw it, or Debbie saw it.
They were beautiful. Yeah.
And you responded and you met my mom to buy the shoes. Right. But what happened is you end up hitting it off, and you had lunch together, you had dinner together, you and Debbie and my mom. You spent all day together. Am I right? And then my mom invited you to church.
Right.
And you and Debbie came to church about 4 years ago back at the high school.
Right.
And you've been part of the family ever
Amen.
Since at the hotel.
Amen.
Now, you had mentioned that even though you met my mom 4 years ago and she invited you to church, that wasn't the first time you'd seen me.
No. I saw you on TV 10 years ago.
10 years ago, you saw me when I was on television.
Right.
You saw it.
Right.
And you started watching.
And I watched it and I was moved. You were teaching, not preaching.
It was ministering to you.
You were ministering to me.
Okay.
And I wanted to find it every night that I was okay. watching it. I was by myself. And the Lord directed me through that TV to never forget you.
It was like a journey.
It was a journey. I was on a journey.
So now, what did you want to say to the church today? Look at them. What did you want to say?
I wanted to say to the church, I don't know how he sees out there with all that prayer. What do you do with those lights? Praise God. It's a rough act to follow right here. We need Pastor Steve and Pastor Jill to be seen by thousands of people. This message that he preached today is the perfect thing that I'm to follow up with. No pressure. We have already have four families dedicated $1,000 towards this equipment.
Because you spoke to them.
Because I have spoke to them, and Debbie and I have started with Debbie and I called Pastor Steve Wednesday and asked him if I could say something. And believe me, the devil has beat me up about that. I said, whoa, here I am. This is the first time I've been on this platform. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Woo! But I'm telling you, when I was 5 years old, my mother gave me a dollar bill. She said, you made $10 this week. I came from a physical working family. We started early. And she said, put this in the plate.
She taught you to tithe.
She taught me to tithe.
When you were five.
There's nothing better than working for it and giving it. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. Hallelujah. And I am so thankful for my church family. Let me ask prayer. We had a text come in 10 minutes ago about the doctor and his wife that is helping my son up in North Carolina. He's caught the virus, and they just put him in the hospital. They're giving him oxygen. We need to pray for him. His name is Josh, and his wife's name's Becky. Pray for them. They've been with my son. They have held my son's hand in this whole lymphoma cancer thing. We need to pray for them. This just came in 10 minutes ago on Debbie's phone. Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for this family that has helped my son, Lord. God, don't take him, Lord. Let him be restored. Heal him, Lord. Heal Josh and his family, Lord. Take care of him right now, Lord. We're asking you to do this for us and for them. In Jesus' name, and Lord, this family, this church family that we have here, Lord, thank you for letting us, Debbie and I, be a part of this. And we need Pastor Jill and Pastor Steve to be representing and on stage with thousands of people to hear a message. Lord Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you. One more thing.
You're running out of time.
I know it.
You got to get to the point.
I told Pastor Steve there were two young ladies that heard the message in the last 2 weeks that said,
they watched online,
to us, one to Debbie and one to me, that how did he know what I needed? That's just two young girls out in the world listened to Pastor Steve's message and his sermon. This is amazing. This is amazing when you think about it. Amen? Woo! Hallelujah.
Let me say what you want to say. I know what you want to say. Let me say what you want to say. Bruce, for years, always had $100,000, you told me, as a
cushion.
As a cushion, just in case. You always kept $100,000 somewhere.
I've had $100,000 more in years than I didn't have it.
Right.
Amen.
When we were raising funds to get in this building, to renovate this building, Bruce came to me and he said, the Lord told me that you had $50,000 to give the whole $50,000 to the building. And I said, Bruce, I don't want you to do that. And he said, the Lord told me to. And they gave everything they had to the building. Bruce and Debbie are amazing givers. They're amazing givers. And so whenever we have something like now, we're going on TV and something extra, they're always the first ones to step up. And I really appreciate your support and your generosity. And let me tell you, God has blessed them. It would take me too long to tell you all the things that God has done for Bruce. But just to think about your grandson, Carmela, who was diagnosed with leukemia. He was 6 years old, right? He was 4 years old. We prayed. He went for treatment. We prayed. They just declared him totally cancer-free. Your son Derek was diagnosed with what kind of cancer?
Lymphoma.
Stage 4 lymphoma, his son, 40 years old. We prayed. How's Derek doing?
He's out of the hospital.
And he's doing great. Did they say his numbers keep going down?
Yes.
I want to tell you that all those things are connected with your giving. Because that $50,000 wouldn't have saved Carmela's life. That $50,000 wouldn't have saved your son's life. But God gave you favor because of your giving. I want you to know that that's connected. That's the blessings of God in your life. And Bruce, thank you for your giving. You wanted to encourage everyone to step up and to help and to give. That's what you wanted to do, right?
No pressure at all. Yes. Okay. I'm here to encourage. That's all. And I'm so thankful for the pastor and his wife that we have. That listen, you don't get this everywhere. I've been in church all my life and I've never had it like this. A minister that preaches the Bible. Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Bruce. Thank you. Amen. Where's Tom? Tom, where are you? Where did Tom Cartwright go? Don't ever leave until we're done. Come here quick, Tom. Quick, Tom. I know, you're working. I just want to tell them about Invent Shine. Come jump up here real fast. Tom Cartwright and Allison Cartwright have a company called Invent Shine. Tom's inventions have made over $100 million. And on Wednesday, In sales. I've got one wife already here correcting me, Anna. So now, on Wednesday, October the 7th, we are having an event here with Tom and Allison where they are going to be offering expert advice and training to anyone. If you have an idea, entrepreneurs, creators, inventors, they want to help the body of Christ to rise up. Amen. And to prosper. You want to say something about October 7th? Ushers, go right ahead, receive the offering. If you haven't already, please pass the offering baskets. Go ahead, we're going to be closing.
God has raised up in Benshine and given Allison and I the burden to help people. God's given
Is that on, Tom? Is it on? I'm sorry. We're on. There we go.
Anyway, people are getting ideas and they don't know what to do with them. They're given ideas for businesses, for products. And God has taken me through many years of developing ideas and businesses. And so we've developed a program with InventShine that helps you evaluate those ideas safely and securely and without hardly any cost compared to what you would run into to take your idea to the world. This is the only faith-based, I would say, God-ordained way in order to take those ideas and to really find out what it is that God wants you to do. Not only do we give you the nuts and bolts of how to figure it out, but also you've got to know that God is calling you to do this, because if he is, then he's going to provide everything.
Yes.
People worry about, you know, they want to make money, but they worry that they don't have enough money. I'm telling you, when God is with you, he'll supply all of your needs. And that includes financial and the people, manufacturers, marketing. I've got testimony after testimony that we'll share. We want to encourage you and build your faith in this, because God is looking to prosper his people, and that's in the word, so you can bank on that. Amen.
So that's October. Wednesday, October the 7th, 7 p.m. We're letting you know this is a free event, open to everybody. Invite people. There are people out there, Christians, who are looking for help. They need help. And Tom and his daughter Allison, they have done this. I mean, you were sitting on your balcony. God gave you an idea. You saw a palm leaf to make a fan that looks like a palm leaf. He didn't know anything about fans. And through much experience, they learned how to patent the idea, how to produce it, how to manufacture it. That fan became the biggest selling fan in the history of the fan blade industry. Made millions and millions of dollars. So please, let people know. October 7th, Tom and Allison are going to be here. Event Shine. It's going to be great. God, come and stand with us. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday. Invite someone to church next Sunday.
This is my testimony from death to life. Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony.